Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello again, my friends. This is Mickey Desai. I'm your today's host for the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm really lucky to have Trace Kingham on the line with me. Trace is an event planning expert who's been in the business for over 20 years and has written a book called Standout, Place Your Business in the Spotlight with Results-Driven Events. Trace, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. And I think event planning and event strategy is something that the nonprofit sector really needs to take a closer look at. I'm familiar with a lot of nonprofits who think that events are the way to actually fuel their mission, you know, their mission engine, right? And fundraising mm-hmm. is the fuel. And so they try to do more events. And I'm thinking, all right, that's not good because events are simply a good way to go broke. And I don't know if you would agree with that or not.
Yeah, certainly. I think that you need to utilize events in a very strategic way. And what I find in most organizations, they're operating in silos. You know, they have their donor relations sitting on one side of the table doing what they do. And then they have the events team on the other side, and they don't communicate and they don't utilize the events and really maximize their potential. So yes, events are expensive. So it's really important to take a look at your event spend and really maximize the return on their investment. So by doing that, I think having your donor relations, your major gift officers, whatever you may call it, depending on your organization. A lot of times, you know, there's those events teams that are raising the corporate dollars, but they're not using the event as a vehicle to build a pipeline for those major gifts, those legacy gifts that maybe they could garner from those audience members that attended your event. So. Mm-hmm.
Before we started recording this episode, you and I were chatting briefly about what it means to be an event strategist and that you have made the personal choice to do this specifically for the nonprofit niche. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, sure. I started in nonprofit. I worked for a foundation and I really got a chance. It was a single position. I was responsible for not only raising funds, but also producing the gala that we produced every year, our annual gala. But I got to see what was great about that position. I got to see directly the impact that I was able to make with the dollars that I raised at the gala. After expenses, whatever profits we might have made from the event were all I had to use for the year to impact our mission. So I really got firsthand on what it is that, you know, how much you can raise really impacts what it is that we're doing. From that position, I went into a nonprofit. It was the event planner, worked hand in hand with the development director, but really found, and this was, 20 years ago, that I'd never had any conversations with major gifts. I never had any direct conversations with what they were doing and building their pipelines. So, from there, I went into corporate, got to see that, side of it, and just really missed working with a mission and a feel good, if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where I decided to go out on my own and really focus on working with nonprofits. It's my comfort lane. I get it. I understand all aspects of nonprofits and the challenges that they run into when it comes to their fundraising strategies, not only from events, but also for major gifts and legacy giving. So it's just, I find a lot of great satisfaction helping mm-hmm. organizations reach and attain goals that they may not even realize they could attain when it comes yep. to their event programs. So.
Excellent. And you call yourself, and this is, I apologize. I've never heard this used in a traditional sense, more of an event strategist and not just an event planner.
Correct. Yes. I mean, I can, you know, check off boxes just like an event planner, no problem. I have resources in my back pocket, but what I bring to the table is I really challenge clients to look at the stories that they're sharing from not only a stage perspective, but from an environment perspective. How are we engaging our donors, our guests in real positive ways that will want them to come back and really be part of the mission, be an advocate, be a cheerleader, bring their circle of influence to the table, if you will, after the event, so and engage them, you know, really engage them.
Yes, let's talk about that. I mean, in doing a little bit of research, you mentioned the fundraising event purpose. Can we unpack that a little bit for our audience?
Yeah, sure. Whenever I start with a client, I always sit down with key stakeholders. I do a key stakeholder meeting, and I ask the question, what is the event purpose? Why are we planning this event? Why are we taking so many of your resources and energy to produce this event? A lot of folks are volunteers, board of directors, CEO, executive director, your major gifts officers. I really want, and guests that just, attendees, love to have those at the table as well. And it's very interesting that a lot of different conversations come up as to what the purpose is. And then I kind of go through a slide where I recommend that there's three different types of event purposes. There's an event that you're really using to garner awareness of who you are as an organization, really that public outreach. Your fundraising, you're directly requesting those attendees to become members of your organization, join forces, volunteer, get involved, or are you strictly raising money? And now all nonprofit organizations should have every aspect of this, but when it comes to planning, I ask my clients to choose just one. Because if by looking at it, the three different building awareness, building friends, or raising money, depending on what you choose, the experience is going to look a lot different and your event spend is going to be a lot different. So for example, if you're friend raising, you may not be spending all your time coming up with revenue enhancers at your event and going out and having your committees garner as many auction items, for example, or raffle items. So you'd really want them to spend their time on creating experiences that will encourage engagement, encourage guests to get involved, bring their friends, grow their volunteer base. Mm-hmm. If you're raising money, you say that this is truly a fundraiser, and I just did this with a client. Half the table was saying, "Well, no, we want to raise friends." The other half of the table said, "No, this is a fundraiser." We all came to the agreement that this was a fundraiser. So now we're really working hard to maximize the event with ways in which we can give our guests the opportunity to open up their wallets and really give. And by doing that, we might have heard give from the heart. We're looking at ways in which we can really showcase a client story, and then afterwards ask, by moving, if we've done a good job of moving our guests, to then open up the opportunity to give. So that would look really different. So awareness, that might be an event that is really maybe you do an art installation out into a public park and invite the community to attend and learn more about your arts organization, per se, or it's a very different event with regards to a strict fundraiser.
So. Interesting. This is very good. I think a lot of nonprofits don't actually get that strategic with their purpose of the event. They do kind of depend on it to be a catch-all. So what is it then that separates a friend-raising event from a fundraising event?
Yeah, a fundraising event. You're still raising money. You're still selling tickets. You're still having sponsorships, but it's the messaging. I would say let's look at the stage experience. The way in which you take your guests through the evening looks very different. Mm-hmm. You're creating opportunities to learn about the organizational needs and how you as a guest can fit into fulfilling those needs. In some cases, it could be dollars, but a lot of cases, it's opportunities to get those guests to become engaged in the mission. Where a fundraiser, yes, you're still sharing the needs of the organization, but you're positioning it from, if we, you know, we need this particular type of equipment, or we need this particular type of individual to fund in order to get to move our mission forward, or we have set out a goal to create a number of different touch points. Say, for example, we're looking at creating 50 adoptions this year over, you know, where we did 30 last year, but we need this amount of money in order to make that happen because we need to fund marketing initiatives. We need to fund an individual, you know, part-time individual to help us get there, whatever the case may be. But you're really walking a guest through from the moment they arrive all the way through the closing experience, and I always challenge guests to come up with a great end to their experience, because that's what guests will remember the most. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it really is the overall experience that you're walking your guests through that looks different. And we map that out, mm-hmm, with a client. We look at the save the date, invitation, donor solicitation, you know, sponsorship solicitation, all the way through post communications after the event's concluded throughout the year. So you're not just sending a save the date 6 months after the event's concluded. So
you'd mentioned that before, that the art of strategizing an event doesn't stop when everyone goes home that evening.
Right. Yeah, I always tell them that's the best time to really engage your guests. You've got them excited. You know they know more about you if you've done your job correctly and you've had a great engaging program. You know, they're ripe. They're ready to be engaged for maybe becoming a big donor, having face-to-face relations. But what I encourage our clients to do is to engage their guests with timely communications. Because of you, we were able to do this. Mm-hmm. Because of you, we were able to do that. So it's continually keeping them updated, and making a promise from the stage that night that you're going to do that, and then following through. It builds trust. It builds transparency. You know, donors are very selective. They only have so much that they're able to give. The average donor under $1,000 is $50.
Oh, yeah.
And the average donor for individuals that give above $1,000 is around the $4,500 range. So, you know, they're selective. They're looking at you as an organization. Are you following through with what it is that you say you're going to do? Are you are you engaging me after the event, or are you just using me, for the one-off? And I think a lot of organizations don't do that intentionally, but it comes across as if they don't care.
Yep.
And I think by doing timely communications and engaging your guests after the event really helps build trust, and it takes time to get that trust built from donors. So.
Well, I think that part of the hesitation, if I can speak from personal experience, is that, you know, you've just done a major push which gets people into the door. You know, you've sold the tickets. You've sort of flooded them with nonprofit messaging throughout the night. Doesn't it cause donor fatigue to turn right around and within the next week send them a card that says, that says anything, you know, send them another mm-hmm. point of contact that all of a sudden they're like, okay, more email from this organization.
Right.
So I don't know if that's a fair assumption or not, and clearly you're getting results. So
yeah, I mean, I think you have to be, again, it comes down to really thinking through and understanding your you know, what I always call your avatar. Mm-hmm. Who is your ideal guest? Who's in the room, and understanding, you know, what your, how your avatar, your guests want to be communicated with. I think that that's a fair statement, but if you're addressing it as a week later as a thank you, not really soliciting for dollars, it's, you know, it's again educating, here's what we did, because a lot of guests leave not really knowing, because it's hard for an organization to quickly tally how much they raised that night as an end, you know, they're yep. still calculating and the event's closing. It's a really difficult challenge. Some do it well, and some, just depending on the type of fundraising that they're doing at the event, it's really hard to calculate. So having a post follow-up email to say, here's what we were able to raise because of you, and here's what we're going to do with those funds. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, a month later, 60 days later, you're following up again and saying, you know, here's what we've done. Here's what we've accomplished because of your involvement. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't have done it without you. You know, so you're setting them up for a future ask, but you're not really asking. It's a subtle, you know, it's a strategic way to
yep.
bring them through the fundraising cycle.
It's an extra step in stewardship, as it were.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Trace, this is really good stuff. If a listener wanted to contact you with any questions, how would they do that?
They can reach out to email trace@tracekingham.com. Happy to provide any information that I can. They can visit my website. I have resources on there. It's eventdesign.expert, EVENT design.expert. There's some resources there, or you can connect with me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, and it's Kingham Signature Events.
Thank you, Trace, and thanks for taking the time to sit with us and do this recording of the Snapcast today.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode of the Snapcast. We'll see you again in about a week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.